If you would open your precious word of God tonight to the book of Isaiah, and I want to be an encouragement to you tonight, and it take just a minute to get there. Anytime you have good news, you got to go through a little bit of bad news, and it's the same here in the word of God. So in Isaiah chapter 1 will be the text tonight, and I preached out of Amos this morning, another prophet, preacher. Isaiah is another prophet, of course, a major prophet in preaching, and what a message he had. And of course, this message we find in chapter 1 is quite an indictment to the people of God. But we do get to some good news, and it gives us hope for today. And so I want to just share with you chapter 1. Let's begin reading with verse number 1 in the book of Isaiah. And the Bible says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Does that sound a little bit like what we heard this morning? "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know my people, doth not consider. All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are all gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city." And verse 9 is our text, and I find great comfort and hope in this little passage of Scripture. The Bible says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant." We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us tonight as we look in thy word. I pray you will encourage us. Lord, we do have hope. And Lord, many times we've just got to understand, keep our eyes on that hope. You are the blessed hope. But Lord, many times we get so discouraged because we live in this wicked day and we think the wicked is winning and everything around us is desolate and everything is dark. We understand that we're living amongst a lot of evildoers. And even here in America, we feel like that we've been overtaken by strangers. And no doubt, this is applicable to our land because we are certainly going backward. We are certainly, as a country, going the wrong way. But Lord, if you only would stop the writing there and the story there, then we would all have reason to be discouraged tonight. But Lord, because verse 9 is here, you reveal yourself, but also your heart. And so, Lord, it does give us courage and hope tonight. I pray you'll help us to expound upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen. When Isaiah laid out this plan or this message in this case against Judah, it was quite grim. No doubt he knew what he was talking about. He was talking to Jerusalem. It was not a pretty picture that he gave. He told them in verse 3 that the cattle and even the donkeys knew who their master was, but they didn't even know who their God was. That's quite a statement. In other words, we could actually say that kind of seen through the years, and I can certainly say this about me, I've seen animals that's been smarter than me. When we forsake of who owns us, who our master is, and even the animals know, what a sad indictment indeed. And of course, we live in that day where this is applicable to America. He told them that their place, but the people didn't even know who their God was. Verse 3, and then if you notice, he charged them in the next verse there. He said he charged them as a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers because they had forsaken the Lord. And then the Bible said in verse 4, they had gone backward. Yes, backward. And when I think about that, no doubt it is applicable today because we're living in a world that seems like it's going the wrong direction. Wouldn't you agree? So they were at that time that they were headed in the wrong direction. And remember, the direction that we go will inevitably determine the outcome of our lives and the outcome. And by the way, we live in a day where we see that all this is taking place and in our country. And we see that these directions that we've been taking for years are now starting to take very sharp, drastic turnabouts, and we're going backwards. So, in other words, our direction that we go will inevitably determine the ultimate destination in which we get there. The issue with the church may not be where they are now, but where their current direction will have them in 5 years. The diagnosis of their backward direction, and then he deals with this in verse 5, he dealt with it, he said, it's of the whole head. In other words, he said, the whole heart is faint, the whole head is sick, so that's making the heart faint. So from the sole of the foot, even into the head, there is no sound that's in it. That's in verse 5 and 6. And then we find as we read this, even the religious practices had really become very evil. And it had become of none effect. And I'm afraid that we've kind of gotten involved in that kind of activity in America as well, because there's a lot of religious services going on. But the question there is, how much of that is changing people's lives? So there can be a religion. There can be some type of religious movement. There can be some type of out of duty. We go to church. We do everything that we're supposed to do, but yet miss what the Lord wants us to desire. And so again, we see that even their religious observances were still taking place. They were rotten to the core. That was in verse number 11 through verse 15, which we did not read. But when the Lord said, I am full, look at verse 11. The Bible says in verse 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord. Notice this, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams. And basically what the Lord Jesus is saying here, God Himself is saying, is He's fed up. He's fed up. I can't help but think it brought me back to a childhood time of memory when, maybe some of you can relate to this. You know, if you have children at home, and my mother raised my sister and I, and she was a mother that stayed at home and raised us, and so, you know, no doubt there were many long days, I'm sure. And there were times that Kim and I was a little more mischievous than others. And she would make statements from time to time. And she would say, I remember her saying, I'm fed up with it. Has any of y'all ever made that statement? How many of y'all ever said to your children that I've got one nerve left and you're all over it? You're all over my nerves. So look here, that's what God said here. He said, I'm fed up with it. He said, I'm fed up with the religious observances that you're doing and all this stuff that you're doing out of duty to this children of Israel. But he said to them, he said, I'm fed up to hear with it. So the situation in the nation was quite grim. The future appeared in dire straits. It looked much like, and it looks much like the condition that we can say America's in today. Would you agree? It's developed in America. Our nation is in trouble morally and spiritually. And we all know what the answer is. It's a return to God. We need a spiritual movement, a spiritual awakening, a revival of God's people to desire the things of God. And we need to understand that we need a genuine revival in our churches, and the erosion of the fabric of our nation will continue without God's touch. But I want to just say this tonight. All of that sounds bad, and we could sit here for the next 20 minutes and talk about how bad America is, but that's not what you came here for, and that's not going to help any of us to walk out of this building tonight with hope and courage, and that's not the message. The message tonight is the hope that America has. And by the way, church, there is hope. God is able. And sometimes we just have to remind ourselves that, because you and I both, as Christians, we know the outcome. We know that, but many times we fail to live like that and think like that. So I want to just take this little verse in verse 9, take everything from this, and I pray that it will be a great help. Even though this situation is dark, even though America is going backward, even though we are in trouble morally and spiritually, I want to say, don't miss the hope and the promises of God that we find in verse number 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. I want to just start right there. I want you to know that a small remnant spared Judah. Now, if you're already ahead of me and you know where I'm going, if that was true with Judah, then a very small remnant can save America. And by the way, the remnant that is here now is, I believe, holding back the wrath of God. Could you imagine if all Christians had no light and we was not able to shine light and we was not able to shine truth and we was not able to, these little children, to get up here tonight and give the wonderful verses that they're learning and they're able to tell others? Could you imagine how dark this world would be? And although we're criticized, although we're many times persecuted, and we don't really know what persecution is, we can have our feelings hurt here, and we understand. You know, I did notice something the other day that the president had signed something again, executive order, to help with prayer in public school, and I'm for it. But I want to say to you today, even though that we might be persecuted, maybe we might be laughed at, some of these teenagers are scared to death to talk about the Lord at school because they know the repercussions will take from that or they'll get back from that. But I want to say, we still are the light in a dark world. And so I say a remnant has spared the nation then, and it's sparing a nation now, because the Bible said, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. I want you to notice the size of this remnant. God doesn't say small. He even emphasizes very small. So it amazes me. Numbers to him really didn't matter. It was a very small remnant that took place that saved the nation from being destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. If you remember Sodom and Gomorrah, why was it destroyed? Because they could not find a remnant there. God did not find a remnant there, even of the ones of the family of the one that was saved, because we know Lot was saved, because the Bible said that he was just, but he was vexed by the filthy conversation of Sodom and Gomorrah. But we understand that he had lost such influence, we realize that most of his family was lost. They could not find a small remnant. By the way, he would have withholding the judgment of wrath on that city if a very small group was found that was saved. He wasn't looking for large numbers. You know, they started out with larger numbers, but they dwindled all the way down to very small numbers, and they could not find it. So I say to us tonight, this encourages me, because we understand that even though how small we are, we're still a remnant, and we're still the very hope. By the way, when I say the hope of America is this small remnant, it is you. It is me. It is churches like ours all across the land, no matter how large they are or how big they are. The Bible says this remnant has spared the nation. Aren't you thankful for gospel preachers? Aren't you thankful for gospel preaching churches around the land? That I've learned in my lifetime, all of us preachers are different. We've all got different styles. We've all got different personality. But I say praise God for every person that stands behind a pulpit in America this day and preaches the wonderful gospel. He's stemming back the tide. And I praise God for each one of you that are faithfully to come to this building week in and week out and continue to try to raise your children, your family, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And let me just say to you, do not take it in vain. Don't lose hope, because the Bible very clearly here says that the remnant spared this nation. Let's say that we all just shut her down and we say there's no use, Pastor. We can't do that. And this verse right here even encourages more so, because the Bible said a very small remnant. I was encouraged this week. We'll not give no names, but, you know, I got a text this week, and I was encouraged because, you know, I thought about May. There was a day there. There was a time there. Somebody, God was working on somebody's hearts, and I thought immediately, I thought of this person's family, and I thought, oh, this will encourage them to realize that God's still at work. Right there is where y'all say amen. God's still at work. I want to say that this remnant had spared the nation, and I believe the remnant of Christians are sparing the nation today. And we can be the remnant, but we cannot be the remnant unless we give God first place and give the devil the place that he deserves in our lives. can I say that we can't be friends with this world? And I want to say we live in this world, and but we should not be a part of this world. We have to understand it's kind of a fickle situation. We have to live in this world. We've got to be kind. We've got to be loving. We've got to be here. We live here. This is where God has allowed us to live. But we've got to be careful because the world is truly not our friend. And so we are certainly pilgrims just traveling through, and many people don't understand us, but we should understand our goal and mission. We are a remnant. So I say praise God for Tiftonia Baptist Church. I say praise God for every member of this church. I say praise God for every Christian in this day, in this dark day, that will continue to stay faithful and put God in His place. And the application there is, will you be in that remnant? Will I choose to be in that remnant? God help us. You make a difference. You put your name there. You make a difference. You make a difference. And, you know, the classic, It's a Wonderful Life. Yes, I understand that, you know, it's not what you'd call a spiritual movie, but I'll tell you one thing that always spoke to me. If you ever watched that movie, you know, George Bailey said, I wish I was never been born. So the angel granted him and allowed him not to be born, and he seen life without his influence in it. And can I say it was quite a different set of story when George Bailey was not alive. Why? Because his life touched so many people. And I don't even think in that passage or in that movie that he was a born-again Christian. He certainly didn't represent that in the movie. But can you imagine the influence that a born-again Christian has in this day and how many lives you touch? So the remnant is there. I want to say not only the remnant spare the nation, and I'm trusting the remnant to spare and to stay back the wrath of God in this day. I also want to say the redemption of the Lord is still available. And I'm thankful even in this passage. If you look at verse 18, the Bible says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing, notice this now, if you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And so I want to say, even though in the midst of all this darkness, even though we do understand that there's a remnant and it's spared the nation, but one good news and another good news tonight and hope for us is no matter how dark it is, God and through His Son Jesus Christ is still saving old sinners. I'm thankful the Bible says, though my sin be as scarlet, they shall be washed white as snow. I read a quote of Brother Pauly today or yesterday. And he was talking about the kindness of Christians, that we should be kind and we should be gracious people. We should be the sweetest people on earth. Why? Because we understand that there was a God in heaven that forgave us when we really didn't deserve to be forgiven. So we live in a day that we understand that even though it's dark, even though we think that sin is winning and Satan is winning and evil is winning, God says, hey, let me come here. Come and talk to me. Reason with me a bit. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know what helps you with that? No matter how dark someone goes, how deep they go, God's always ready to save them. That encourages me. Aren't you thankful that your family member, aren't you thankful that maybe somebody you work with, aren't you thankful for somebody that maybe you knew years ago has just dove into the depths of sin and you think there's no chance for them? Listen, that verse takes all that away, because no matter what they've done, God is able to wash them and clean them pure. That encourages me. Amongst all this bad news that we're getting today, oh, Pastor, there ain't no hope. There ain't no hope. There ain't no chance. There ain't no hope. There ain't no chance. That's different for the Christian, because we know there's hope. Even in the darkest day, no matter when someone, you know, I think about this all the time. I think about people, and I even made the statement this morning. How much does someone have to lose? What is it going to take for somebody to realize their life is a mess and they've ruined it doing it their way? How much? And, you know, I'll be honest, for some it's different, but I'm thankful that there's a God in heaven that's trying. I'm thankful we serve a God like that. He says to me, Mark, even though your sin be as scarlet, you should be washed white as snow. I'm thankful that the redemption of the Lord is still available even in these dark days. Even when our country is going backwards. So I say to you, if that's true and He's still saving, then we've got to keep giving the gospel. we've got to keep spreading the truth. We've got to keep telling people about the Lord. I want to ask our church, how's our tract giving? I haven't mentioned it in a while, but how's our tract giving? What are we doing to get these tracts? I'll be honest now, maybe Brother Clay's been doing it, but I haven't been filling up these tract racks a lot here lately. And so I say to all of us, he says, oh, Pastor, this is a waste of money. Well, I have a friend that lives in northern West Virginia that doesn't think so. He was in the bottom of the barrel one day, and he walked into a McDonald's. He was discouraged. He was about ready. I think his home was about to be destroyed. His marriage was about to end. His life was in a mess, and he sat down at a table at a McDonald's, and he just happened to pick up a tract that someone had left from a Baptist church like ours, and he began to read it for the first time. He realized his need. His need was Jesus. He got saved and became a preacher. So I say, if that could happen in northern West Virginia around the Morgantown area, close to where the West Virginia University is, I believe that if God could use a tract in that small mountain state, I just believe that he could use that in the town of Lookout Valley. I believe he could use it in a larger city of Chattanooga. I believe that he could use it when you put your bills in the mail. If you still pay by mail, you can put them in your bills. I still believe that if you go to a restaurant and you tip them well, you never know. How was it? We were at Cracker Barrel the other day, man, and the waitress started to preach to us. I was going to hand her a tract, but then she told me that where she went to church, and I'm going to be honest with you, I know there was one guy sitting there that was a little discouraged, and I even watched him when this woman got, and by the way, she didn't agree with everything that we would agree with, but I'm thankful we agreed on some good stuff. I was thankful that she done a little preaching service there. I thought, man, she might get fired because she might be neglecting her other patrons. But that encouraged my heart. You know what that told me? I thought, and then he told this gentleman that was here, I thought, you know what it's telling him? God still works. And then not only that, I believe he placed that woman to be our waitress at that morning for a particular reason, just to encourage somebody. And so I'm thankful God's still working, even though it's in this dark day. So the redemption of the Lord's still available. People still getting saved. He's still speaking to our hearts. I'm thankful for that. But then lastly, I truly believe the restoration of the nation can come. Now I want you to look at verse 26 of this chapter. The Bible says this. Verse 19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. But verse 26 said, if you will decide right, here's what God says, and I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. We learn something about our God here. The Lord, I'm thankful, as he says in his word here, can put it back like it was. I don't know about y'all, but we're hearing a whole lot about the founding fathers today. The founding fathers today. The founding fathers today. And when I hear those phrases, I said, oh God, would you put us back to the way it was when our great country was established? And by the way, I'm praying a prayer that he's able to deliver. I believe he can put things back first. You know why? Because he said it right here. And he said, I will put things back like they were at the first. And then he said, as at the beginning, then afterward, he said, the city will get its reputation restored. So I want to just say it. Here's where the challenge, and I close tonight. So come on, Tiptonia Baptist Church. Come on, Christian. Let's be that remnant. Let's be that loud mouth, jubilant, joyful, small remnant where we're still trusting in a God that is able. Because we are. We are. You are. Every mom and dad here that draws breath, that knows Jesus Christ your Savior, sometimes you think your life is so minute, and you say, well, I don't know what kind of an influence you can have. But when you have children, and God has given you those precious children, can you imagine the influence of that child's life and how many people they're going to influence? So it's not vain continuing to train them. It's not vain to be excited as a parent to teach them the great truths of God. It's not something small to make sure they're faithful to church where they're learning about a God that they can go out and tell others about. And when they get in their darkest of nights, they've learned that there's a relationship with the Lord Jesus that will help them and sustain them through the darkest of nights. We cannot give up. We cannot quit. We cannot stop. We cannot slow down. We must turn it up. And I feel like in this day, we're turning it down. So let's take our place as the remnant, because we are. How many of y'all saved tonight? Would you raise your hand? You're it. Somebody's counting on you. Somebody's counting on me. Let's be the remnant that spares a nation. By the way, I want you to get on the internet. You study revivals of the past. You'll come to one conclusion. It's never been a large group. It's never started with a large group. It started with a very small group of people. You know what that does? That gives us hope. It encourages us. You know what? Because Independent Baptists, we've looked at numbers for years. Come on now. We've made numbers the goal. I don't think numbers are the goal. He said a very small remnant. I'm telling you what, how about this group right here say, you know what? We're going to be the remnant. Hey, can I say, let's sound out like a trumpet, the redemptive message of God. And look, today's the day. Let's do it. Let me give you some things quickly and I'm going to quit. Let's stand on the promises of God today. Let's just stand on the promises of God. Number two, let's pray earnestly. Can I encourage y'all to do something? How about every morning at a place at your convenience and a time of your convenience? How about you every morning? And maybe if you want to come here, Brother Clay and I, now we can't always. We're trying to do it around 9:30, between 9 and 9:30. We invite you to come here. But now again, I would call before because there's times we're not able. I might be at the hospital. He might have doing something else. But I want to say, I want to ask our church to pray earnestly in this day. Find you a time. Maybe get with someone. Get with a group. And let's pray earnestly for God to move. Let's live godly. Hey, I say this, let's stand against the devil's agenda. And by the way, he has one. We don't have to be ugly about it, but we've got to stand on the truth. The devil has an agenda. It's destroying lives. Can I say, let's make a big deal about the Bible. How much big deal do you make about your Bible? Is it the answer? Is it the first thing we turn to? Is it the first thing where we get counsel? Let's make a big deal about the Bible. Let's say this, let's make a big to-do about the church. Let's make a big to-do about the church, right? Let's make a much about Jesus Christ. Hey, here's another one that'd help all of us. Let's kick discouragement to the curb. By the way, all of us get there. You got to kick it out. So let's get discouragement kicking to the curb. Hey, quickly, let's not be intimidated by critics, cranks, and compromisers. Y'all know any cranks? Y'all know any critics? You know, it don't matter what you do, you know. It's always something can be better. But we got to keep on. Hey, let's not be intimidated by those folks. Let's preach the Bible fearlessly and fervently. Hey, let's go. Lead people to the Lord. Let's teach people how to lead people to the Lord. By the way, the Eden School of the Bible is a great thing to take. You'll learn. You'll have a whole semester on trying to be a soul winner. You'll be trained how to be a soul winner. And by the way, I've learned this. If we have a desire to lead people to God, it's not hard to do it. We're just sharing what Jesus has done for us. But I want to say we've got to keep doing these things. So let's continue to preach. Let's keep going out and witnessing. Let's keep handing out tracts. Hey, let's keep running buses. We've got to run buses. We've got to reach these children. Hopefully we'll reach their families. Hey, let's continue to build soul-winning churches. By the way, we've got to keep giving. We've got to keep giving our missionaries. Why? Because they're building churches all around the land. We need to. Hey, and by the way, I'll just say this. If someone left this church to go start a church, I'd be excited about it. Wouldn't want to lose them. That's what it's about, isn't it? I read a statistic not long ago about the Northeast and also the Northwest. There's hundreds of miles of where there's no gospel witness at all in America. Let's give generously. Let's keep our families intact. You got to work at it. Because I'm going to tell y'all, I noticed something. The couples retreat that the Temple Baptist Church is having, Crown College, Pastor Jackson, I noticed the theme of his couples retreat this year was fighting against the destruction of Christian homes. We live in that day. The tearing down and the attack, I think it's the attack on the Christian home. And so the marriage or on the American family, it's an attack, by the way, church. And I believe that the family is the building blocks of society. We've got to keep our families intact. And by the way, that's not always easy. Can I just be practical here? That means you're going to have to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Because I've learned this. Even our family and the people that are dearest and closest to us is still capable of hurting us. Someone said, let's raise good children. No, I think that sets the bar too low. Let's raise spiritual children. There's a difference between good children and spiritual children. Help educate them. Help develop the mind of Christ in their life. He's the goal. Let's vote in every election. Shame, shame, shame. If we're an American, have the freedom to vote and choose not to do so. And by the way, you give up every right to complain about it if you don't vote. Yeah. We have a wonderful opportunity. And I'm going to close. But I was shocked this week. I've seen a statistic and I've seen a man. He was going to different universities in our land. And I was really appalled, but I was brokenhearted. But also, I shouldn't be shocked, but I get it. And they were asking all these. Now, these are all young people that's in our universities and colleges, and overwhelmingly a large statistic percentage of our young people that are in our colleges and universities. They was asking them, do you feel that America is the greatest country on the planet? And overwhelmingly, and then they asked two questions. Do you think, and most of them said no, but then they asked, well, in your school and your professor's teaching, do they teach you that they believe that America is a wonderful country? And said, no, they don't teach that. They teach us that America is not the greatest country on the planet. Now, look, we have taken away reason and just common sense today. And we've allowed this devil's agenda to break down the very basic power of mankind to be able to reason and to think and to use our brain and common sense. Now, my question is, and then when they asked them, well, why do you not think we're the greatest? Because of how we treat immigrants. Now, this was amazing to me. Because I think we are almost about the only country that I think that having immigration problems. Now, I know there's some in Europe that's having immigration problems, but I don't see anybody jumping over walls to get into Kenya. I don't see anybody jumping over walls to go to China. I don't see anybody breaking through our walls to go to Mexico. All of these millions of people are coming to our country because it's the worst country in the world. Doesn't make any common sense. Listen to me. No matter how dark it is, we live in a free country. Our children can get up tonight or tomorrow morning if they choose to and go worship God any way and any building they choose fit to do so because we live in a free country. People have laid that down with their lives and with their blood. I'm thankful for that. But we're living in a day where even that has become a question and it should never even be questioned. So I say, what do? We need to raise spiritual children that know the truth, to learn to be grateful. By the way, no child gets up every day and is grateful. That's something we have to cultivate, not only in my life, but we have to cultivate in our children's life. And so I say, let's raise good children. By the way, let's vote. And then quickly, let's prioritize daily and keep the most important things in our lives first. And that foremost is the Lord Jesus. We are the remnant. So you say, Pastor, who is the hope of our nation? I'm going to promise you this, it's not Congress. It's not Senate. It's not any one of these. I'm thankful for anybody that runs an office that stands for moral issues. I'm thankful for all of that. But they're not the hope. Our hope, I'm going to tell you who the hope is. It's you. It's people like us that are saved and we know the Lord. How serious do we take it? We've got to keep on keeping on. Because we're the hope. How many of y'all believe that? Y'all believe that? Stand to your feet if you believe that.